And welcome to Mickey Finn's here on this Friday afternoon. A little gloomy in Libertyville, but it is nice and warm inside here. The All-State Hometown Voices Tour makes its way to Mickey Finn's on Milwaukee Avenue. Still time for you to come down. John Williams follows coming up at 1 o'clock. He's sitting just to my left and already contributing, I'm afraid. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're going to talk a little bit later on the program with Kevin Considine. He's the president and CEO of Lake County Partners, a group that puts together private and public partnerships when it comes to investing in the area, helping businesses and things such as that. So Kevin around the corner, Brian Grano as well, the owner of Mickey Finn's. And we're going to introduce you to a new term. It's called workplace telepressure. What do you know about that? That's coming up in the second half hour, but we start things off as we do on most Fridays with Andrea Haynes. She is the editor of Blue Sky Innovation for the Chicago Tribune. Andrea, welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Well, you know, I teased the fact that we're going to talk about cloning your pet for $50,000, but maybe we'll save that for a little bit later. Tell me about the FCC and why, you know, when I'm on Facebook or another application online and I click on it, I'm then followed by ads for deodorant or whatever it is. Again, I can't escape those, right? And now it sounds like maybe that's going to be the case with us watching TV. I'm not sure I understand that.
That's true. So we've all become familiar with it, whether or not we like it, that we know things we are looking for online, we'll start seeing ads for them every place. And now, under some new rules that the Federal Communications Commission just voted on, which involves something called next-gen TV, one of the things that will allow broadcasters to do is collect data about your viewing habits. Right. And that, in turn, can lead to potentially more targeted advertising.
Okay, so that means they're... I thought they already knew what I was watching. Don't they already track that stuff?
You know, they know some things, but this is definitely going to be more data about what you're doing than they typically had.
Okay, so, and then if I respond... So it's not so much what I'm clicking on, and they're going to bury me with something I might have shown interest in the past, but it's going to be more tailored to the types of shows I watch, and I'll have an individual commercial that way.
Exactly. It's the TV version of what we're already accustomed to on Google.
So does that mean that, you know, my neighbors could be watching the same show one day on their TV and seeing different advertisements than I'm seeing on mine?
That's exactly, in theory, what would happen. It doesn't necessarily start happening tomorrow, but over time, you know, that's exactly the theory, that it will know more about you, know more about your demographic, know more about what you're likely to respond to, and maybe your neighbor would be getting something different.
Am I supposed to be happy about this or upset?
You know, it always depends, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess it does, because it seems to me like it's information they already have. This is sort of a different version of reading the newspaper online, if you will, because if you are only being presented with things that you're interested in, it seems like your window to the world is going to continue to shrink. How would I ever know about the Poppin' Fresh guy if I wasn't interested in baking?
Yeah, that would be sad, although I will say there are a number of advertisements I see that I would be perfectly happy to never see again.
Well, I don't think you'll have any input, unfortunately, that you won't get to say. They get to say.
That's true, but if they know what shows I watch, they might know that I don't need, you know, Viagra ads, that kind of thing. That might be good.
Stay away from the soap operas. Okay, let's go to Fan Food. I'm interested in this company because it seems like they have a good idea, and they're out of Chicago. They're not really marketing in Chicago right now, but they're facing some huge obstacles when it comes to the competition. Tell me about Fan Food. I'm at a ballpark. I want to go get a beer or a hot dog. I know the line is going to cost me 2 innings. So instead, there's an app, and they'll bring the food to me, right?
That's exactly what it is. There's going to be a race, it sounds like, to see who does this everywhere. There's some really big contenders that are in really big stadiums. But the Chicago-based company, Fan Food, has some medium-sized venues, and they're looking at other ways to do this, where sports events, for concerts, for all kinds of big stadium events, you would be able to order food from the concession stands and have it delivered right to your seat.
Doesn't it seem like that's the sort of thing a venue should be doing on its own already?
And that's really what Fan Food does, is they're kind of providing the support that allows the venue to do that. They're providing the technology, you know, back-end that they would need to do that, and then they also supply an on-site manager basically to help get the system started.
So
and they'll also
really
fill the gaps delivery wise if they need that.
Oh, okay. So they will have delivery staff if that's the sort of thing the event needs.
Exactly.
And their argument, right, is that if the food comes to you, you tend to spend more. Do they have data to back that up?
They do. So you'd be paying, you know, an extra $1 to $3 for the food that you were getting. But they did get some data from a concert that they served in Austin, and they found that 83% of the people using the app at this event ordered twice during the event, and they also spent quite a bit more, $31 as compared to $19. So basically, it meant people were buying more from the concession stands.
There's nothing worse than being underneath on the concourse at Wrigley Field and hearing the roar of the crowd outside.
And you know you missed something, right?
You know you missed something. But the problem with these guys is they might have a nice idea, but there are a couple of giants in the industry who are already trying to do it too, which could really hurt their chances.
That's true. There is one called Venue Next that has some of the big places, Yankee Stadium, that kind of thing. But they offer a lot more services. So Fan Food is hoping that just to kind of do the food part, you know, will appeal to some venues that need that.
They're working out of Chicago, but they're not working in Chicago?
That's right. You can't use the service in Chicago yet. None of the places that they're in are here. They are in the Iowa Cubs. They're in some places, as I mentioned, in Austin. And they've definitely got some business in various places, but not here yet.
All right, so we'll watch for that. That's called Fan Food. My dear dog, Roxy, the Portuguese water dog, love her. She is getting old, 13 years old, and we're starting to see signs, you know, that she's not going to be around forever. And now for $50,000, I could get another one?
That is true. There's a company in Texas that will allow you to clone your beloved dog.
Wait, if it's cloned, does that mean it comes back potty trained already?
Yeah, you can only hope, right? Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I have two older dogs that I hope will live forever, but I don't think I'd be tempted to clone them. I don't know. That's maybe a step too far.
Okay, how does this work? It's like a test tube baby sort of thing?
Yeah, it kind of is. So they will genetically preserve the DNA. They have a cryo storage facility. And then they use a donor egg to create, yeah, it's kind of is like a test tube baby, I guess.
And it's $50,000.
$50,000. And it creates it creates an identical genetic twin. And the whole process start to finish takes about 6 to 7 months.
And there's a waiting list?
There's a waiting list. So I guess, you know, people love their dogs and, you know, you do get to know your dog's habits. You know, it's
well, that's the thing, but
it's wonderful qualities. And
well, do the habits come back?
Well, perhaps not the habits that you've trained them, but I do think they have. Don't you feel like they have inherent personalities or inherent, you know, those things would theoretically be there.
Okay. Still, if they could figure out a way to bring them back with all you've taught them, it might be worth the
$50,000. That would really be something.
Not so sure. Andrea Haynes, thanks very much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Mickey Finns is packed as always. And one of the reasons, well, really the only reason it's ever filled is because of the owner, Brian Grano, who's sitting right next to me. Brian, welcome back.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Tell me the story of how you... Mickey Finns was the first bar you ever owned, right?
First and only.
When's the next one coming?
No, never.
Tell me the story of it, because you guys, when you bought the place, it was already up and running, was across the street, and you grew it quite a bit.
Well, Mickey Finns is the oldest brew pub in Illinois, and when they opened it in 94, the original owners, I think it was the third or fourth in the state, and Goose Island was one of them, and Goose Island obviously isn't a brew pub anymore, and the other two kind of faded away, so... Last man standing, Mickey Finns. So I bought it from the original owners in 2004.
Well, were you a customer of it at the time?
Yeah, a customer. I lived a block away. And
so you were a regular?
I was a regular. I knew the owner very well, and you know, I knew that he was kind of looking to make a move out of the business, so all the stars kind of aligned right way.
And then you jumped in.
I did.
And no looking back?
Well, I kind of looked back a little bit during the recession a few years ago.
Well, and during that time, right, so that's when you kind of grew it and jumped across the street.
Yeah, that was like the do it or get off the pot moment, you know, either get out of the business or go bigger. And we were lucky to find this building, which is, if people haven't been here, literally 80 yards west of where we were before. And
right,
it's
just
a great,
across the street.
Yeah, a great historic 100-year-old building that we were able to save and kind of squeeze our operation.
Brian, it's a big building.
Yeah.
You ever have time? I mean, you got a lot to do to fill this place.
No, it's all good now, but I'll tell you, when we were going through construction, I had a full head of hair back then, and it's all gone now.
Well, and so, but one of the reasons I like coming up here, and I've been coming here for a long, long time, and just Libertyville in general, is this seems to be one of the towns that has figured out how to build community or to create community. So speak to me a little bit about that and about how that works when it comes to fostering businesses.
Well, we've got a Main Street organization here, which is a countrywide organization kind of put together locally to help save Main Streets. And it came into function here back when the malls were kind of popping up everywhere. And we're like, we got a great downtown and we want to save it. So it basically was that Main Street organization, Main Street Libertyville, in conjunction with the village, really kind of cleaning up downtown and doing matching funds for businesses and retail and signage deals. And slowly but surely over the past 20 years, it's turned into something pretty special.
You know, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that Main Street is outliving the mall. I mean, the malls are dying, and here comes Main Street again. Yep. I mean, even the new developments, they're building them to make them look like Main Streets.
Yep, and they're building right here, you know, a town south of us, a brand new development just south of the mall.
And it's all the same.
Yeah, so it's manufactured towns.
It is. That doesn't count. All right, but tell me about within your business here, because, well, I mean, I'll come clean. I have Steve Bertrand Travel, right, where I build trips for groups that have sort of strong community, and I pitched you a while ago, and you've got a trip up. You're going to take a group to Bavaria in May because you've got a sort of sense of community here. How does that work?
Right. Well, not only do we have a great customer base and a great community within Libertyville and the surrounding areas, but we've got a mug club of 150, 170 strong, of which, you know, you were at the other night.
Right.
And they're, you know, we're constantly looking for new and interesting things to offer. And this trip to southern Germany in spring is something we've wanted to do for a long time.
Do you have a spot where people can go and keep up to date on what's going on, information and things like that?
Yeah, if you go to our Facebook page, just, you know, Google in Mickey Finn's Facebook. We've got all our events, and the German trip is on there as well.
All right, so you had said that you were going to buy a beer for everyone in the house when you were on with me. Is that the case?
And you.
Right.
And of course, the great John Williams.
John never opens his wallet, so that won't happen. Maybe next time. Nice to see you. I know you'll be back a little bit later.
Thanks, Steve.
Brian Grano, the owner of Mickey Finn's here in Libertyville. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. And welcome back. Mickey Finn's in Libertyville. Here we are on the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour. A little bit later in the program, we're going to go actually west, maybe southwest of here, and talk to Lucy Barber. She's Associate Professor of Psychology at Northern Illinois University. Here's the thing. She wants you to enjoy the turkey and leave your phones at home. All right? I'm just going to tell you right now, when we talk to her, she's going to tell you on Thanksgiving to leave your phone in your purse or in your car and focus on the pie. We'll talk to her a little bit later, but right now it's a pleasure to say hello to Kevin Considine, President and CEO of Lake County Partners. Kevin, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Okay, so, you know, I cover news in the city, cover news up here a lot, and I know Mayor Emanuel's pushing for this public-private partnership. I hear more and more about it. Explain for me what I'm going to assume you're sort of a quasi-governmental agency.
Yes, we're a nonprofit, but we're about half funded by Lake County itself and the municipalities in the county, including Libertyville as one of our investors.
All right, so explain for me, how does it all work and what's the point of it?
So ultimately our mission is to, you know, enhance the economic vitality of the county. You can kind of sweat that down really to, you know, helping fuel job creation.
And we're talking about big jobs, little jobs?
You know what? In many cases, it's everything from big corporate clients, and it's CFOs and salespeople, but frankly, we're a big manufacturing county, so we need lots of machinists and welders, too.
And so what do you do? How do you make that happen? How do you make Lake County? I would imagine it is or it is not attractive, and a big part of it is just getting the attractiveness out there, right, or getting the message out there to people.
Absolutely. It's getting the word out. Particularly, you know, lots of folks talk about the, you know, millennials these days, and everybody thinks, you know, they're going to stay downtown forever. The reality is that, you know, they all grew up in the suburbs, and
right.
Once life kicks in, usually when kids start to come along, the suburbs start to look pretty good.
That's an interesting thing. So, and they're the talent. They're the talent that you want to attract.
Absolutely. It's certainly the talent. We want them to move here and to live here, but our company certainly want them as employees.
And so how do you get them out here?
You
can't just wait for them to get old.
Well, no, you can't wait, and you certainly, we've done the homework. We shouldn't try and kind of pluck them off their bar stools from Wicker Park either.
Right, okay.
So it's make sure that they know we're here, and it's about getting the message out about, you know, life in the suburbs, whether that's how great the schools are, You know, little known fact that we caught earlier this year that actually Lake County residents have the shortest commutes of any residents.
Oh, I remember that study, right? Because the jobs are here.
Yeah, so more people live and work in this area than anywhere else. So actually shorter commutes in Lake County than if you live downtown.
So you said something interesting about how you learned that you can't pluck them off the bar stool. Because I was going to say, well, you show them towns like Libertyville. It's not Wicker Park, but it's closer to Wicker Park than I think just about any suburb I've been in. But that's not necessarily the path you take.
Well, yes and no. So believe me, this stretch right here in front of Mickey Finn's is part of my standard tour.
Is it? Yeah.
And this is a big reason why that. So they do come up and kind of go, all right, we want single family homes and parks and good schools. But then they see this and kind of go, oh, wait, there's fun out here, too.
Right.
And it's really attractive.
And so what is the over? How does Lake County measure when it comes to the rest of the state? Is it one of the, I would imagine it's got to be one of the leading counties for manufacturing.
Absolutely. We are one of the largest manufacturing counties, not only in the state, but actually in the country.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because we don't, you know, we hear about how there are no manufacturing jobs around. There are manufacturing jobs in Lake County.
There absolutely are. In fact, we're one of just a handful of regions truly in the country that are growing manufacturing jobs.
Okay, and so then are there jobs to be had here?
Absolutely.
Really?
So we have a really deep manufacturing base, whether it's in, you know, medical devices is one of our biggest sectors.
I don't know if they sell them or need them. Do you need some?
but other sectors as well. They're great career paths that, frankly, a lot of people haven't gone into over the last, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years.
Right, right.
So we're encouraging more, particularly young adults, to look at careers in manufacturing.
Okay, so I live in Deerfield, so the southern part of Lake County, and Mayor Emanuel seems to want to take everything good in my town and bring it to his, right? He's done it with the Bulls. He just said recently he's not going to be satisfied until Walgreens is in Chicago. How does that impact what you guys are doing up here?
We have to keep communicating the value of being here. And in fact, one of the things we talk about to those companies who think about moving down is, you know what, I realize it might sound good now, but as those employees that you're going to attract, as they start to think about moving to the suburbs as kids come along, where do you think they're going to want that corporate headquarters to be?
So is that part of your job as defense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, I guess we don't know yet what the millennials are going to do when they get older. I mean, the assumption is they're going to come out just like a lot of the previous generations did.
Absolutely. Most of them grew up in the suburbs, so there's kind of no reason to think that they won't want that same opportunity for their kids.
Right.
They're absolutely doing it a little bit later than the generation before them. That is clear. But that's really just continuing a trend that sort of every generation has done.
Kevin Considine is the president and CEO of Lake County Partners. I would imagine your job would be a lot more fun if Foxconn was building just around the corner.
That could be, but I'm actually really happy they're going where they're going.
Explain that for me.
I think it's great for us. We're very close to the Wisconsin border. Frankly, the site that they're talking about is about 25 minutes up the road. I believe that we can really capitalize on the things that will come in its wake. If it really ends up being the magnitude that they're talking about, 13,000 jobs, and that's a lot.
Right.
There are not that many skilled manufacturing workers in southeast Wisconsin now. So they'll be looking to us for that talent.
So you're talking about maybe secondary sort of facilities would be built here?
I think there will be certainly companies in their supply chain who will supply Foxconn, and they'll be looking to locate here because this is where the talent is.
I was going to say, I always hear from Governor Scott Walker. He's on political commercials in town saying that the business climate is so much better in Wisconsin than it is in Illinois. Why would they build here and not 10, 20 miles north?
I mean, it's hard to argue certainly that maybe land is cheaper in Wisconsin than it might be here. I mean, there can be those elements of the argument, but any company will tell you their number one factor is talent.
Yeah.
And that's what we have an abundance of.
So you're saying people in Illinois are smarter than people in Wisconsin?
I'm saying that we've got a great deep pool of particularly skilled manufacturers.
We definitely have more people.
And
the pool is much bigger for that.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so look in your crystal ball if 10 or 15 years from now, I don't know if you'll still be doing this job, or we'll be talking somewhere on the beach in Florida.
That's right.
Where do you expect to see Lake County then?
I think we'll continue to double down, particularly on automation and robotics. I think we'll be one of the leaders in the nation on advanced manufacturing.
And so I always ask this question. It's maybe unfair, but there's so much made of the mess in Springfield. Has that made your job? I would imagine it's made your job harder.
I'd like to say that it hasn't,
right.
But it absolutely has. So there's no question that there are sort of national relocation deals that we're just not a part of.
Is it because of the facts or because of the impressions?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
So that some of the facts are there, but interestingly, if we're talking with an international company who hasn't heard the steady drumbeat of news out of Springfield, it's a much easier conversation.
So they just look at the data.
Yeah, they just look at the data, and they're not as predisposed to hearing the negative stuff.
Kevin Constantine, great to talk to you. I appreciate it. Hope to see you again soon.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much, Steve.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. It is 12:52 on this Friday afternoon. The weekend is just ahead, even closer, is John Williams. He'll be here coming up from 1 to 3 at Mickey Finn's as we continue the All-State Hometown Voices Tour here in Libertyville. Mickey Finn's on this Friday afternoon. All right, Lacey Barber is an associate professor of psychology at Northern Illinois University. She joins us on a phone line now. Lacey, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, I want you to be honest right now. Do you have a smartphone?
I do have a smartphone.
How close is it to you right now, Lacey?
Oh, it's in my pocket, of course, like everyone else, right?
Actually, not true. I have mine out so that I can see as soon as I get a notification. I know it's a problem.
Oh, that's worse.
I know. I know it's a problem. I saw a survey recently that a majority of us recognize that we're trying to become a little less tied to our smartphones and that maybe it's working. If nothing else, we've sort of peaked at our usage. It's not going up anymore. But you're here to tell me that it's a bad idea and that we should break away, right?
Well, not fully. I think it's more about setting some times that you can, fully detach for the phone. So a little bit more, like you said, making progress a little bit more than we have, I think, in our current modern workplace and environment. It's hard to completely take a complete vacation, but I think that we can definitely do better than what we have been doing.
All right, how about when you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night? Is it okay to check your email?
Oh, no, definitely not then. Because then you have to feel like you answer it, right? Then you see things you have to do.
I will say that, if I'd get up to let the dog out or whatever, I found myself, because the phone was there, I would look at it, and I've made a point in the past couple of months to really stop doing that because nothing good comes from it. If you see something in the middle of the night, chances are it's going to be bad, and then it's going to ruin the rest of your night's sleep. So there's something very easily done. But you're saying that actually becoming too tied to your phone can be detrimental to our health, our physical health?
So a lot of the research that my co-author here, Alicia Santuzzi, and I have done on an idea, we call it workplace telepressure. So this is the preoccupation and urge to respond quickly to your messages. And so people that have this high levels of telepressure are more likely to say they get sick more often, miss work more often, and kind of experience what we call work burnout. So you feel like you're just not motivated to work as much as you have.
Why do you think that is? I mean, you think the person who feels sort of that anxiety responding right away tends just to be sort of more anxious in general?
We've been trying to tackle this because we come from it from both a social environment and an individual differences approach. And so, thus far, we haven't really seen a lot of the evidence for the anxiety part, like the personal anxiety.
Right,
lot of what keeps people connected is that social environment. So you're worried that, you're going to miss some important information from your boss, that fear of missing out, FOMO. Or you think that you need to respond quickly to someone so, they know that you got their message. And so it comes from actually not a negative anxiety, but more of like that positive wanting to stay connected. So, we like staying connected.
You're being so proactive, you're making yourself sick.
I think even though it comes from a positive, adaptive place, we still have to turn it off every once in a while and relax.
I think you really hit on something for me personally, because when I get an email, whether it's related to the travel stuff I do or work or texts, I feel as if it shows I'm more responsive and get points the quicker I answer. I'm just like, boom, I want to get this done. I want to get it answered. And I do find sometimes that I answer so quickly that my answers are incomplete. or badly written or misleading, and they end up costing you more trouble than they were worth.
Yeah, and you want that other person to feel good about your relationship, right? Like, I'm thinking of you, I'm in there, and so we all know that we have these devices in our pockets all the time, so it feels a little like a snub if someone doesn't get back to you fast enough, because you're thinking, well, they know I have it. And so I think, you know, part of what we've learned on managing this is to really set up these expectations with other people, you know, make you know, your checking intentional, make your checking predictable in your responses, and so really communicating to other people, well, you know, this is my time off, so Thanksgiving's coming up, so really, you know, let people know, you know, hey, I'm going to spend some time with my family. I definitely care about, you know, you as well and want to get back to you on this project, but you know, so anything you can send me ahead of time, I'll make sure to address any emergencies, but, you know, I will be taking a little bit of a vacation, but I, you know, your email's important to me, so set that little responder, you know,
that's such a key thing, Lacey, too, because if I work with someone who always responds instantly, and then they start taking time for themselves and don't respond, I'm thinking, it must not be important to them, unless I know that they're taking the time away. Lacey Barber, Associate Professor of Psychology at Northern Illinois. Go Huskies.
Go Huskies, yeah.
You're listening. We'll talk again soon. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.